Denise and I married in 1978 after having gone out on our first date, I think it was 3 months later. So from first date to marriage, 3 months. I may just share her mic here.
Yeah.
Yep.
There we go.
So anyway, I was convinced that Denise was just what I needed, and I was unconsciously hurrying everything up before that train with all my baggage showed up. So before our third anniversary, we had our two sons as well. So working three jobs, going to school, she was working too.
Yeah. Lots of stuff going on. What I did not know was that the next 20 years would be my journey to learn what it meant to be God's daughter.
Yep. You know, it was soon after, I was on my best behavior when we first got married, but pretty soon I couldn't hold it together on my own. After our first son's birth, I had my first affair. You know, I was trying really hard, my own strength, to just do what was right. So I tried to work harder and keep myself busy. In Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Conversely, I found that left to my own devices, I don't do very well. Between work and evening college, plenty of opportunities to put my desires first, and I did. I always loved Denise, and I love both my sons, but I got to tell you, I had no idea how to love them and lead my family spiritually. Instead, I thought I was pursuing the things that led to happiness. I was getting a degree, working, moving up, getting certifications, money, bigger house, you name it. Anyway, it was everything was new, new job, but nothing was ever enough. In 1982, Denise found out that I was unfaithful and confronted the other woman. And I can remember just feeling embarrassed and ashamed, and I moved out, and we divorced. That affair didn't last very long. Pretty soon, I found myself in a 400-square-foot apartment with some rented furniture and my old childhood Bible. So I began to read some of it. It was a King James version. I remember it well. And as I was reading those passages, I asked God if he would forgive me. And if I vowed that, again, that I would do better. The emphasis here is really on I, because I was depending upon my own strength to try to lead something I couldn't do. After less than a year of being apart, and we did all the things they tell you not to do in this thing, I hadn't put anything in place, hadn't had any healing. Denise and I asked her to give us another chance, and we had two little boys at home that loved their dad, and she did. So we remarried in 1983. We went to church on Sundays, and I have to tell you, I sat out there in the pews, but I never felt connected. I felt like I was unique, that my sins, my struggles, my problems, nobody else had them. After about 6 months' time, I just stopped going. So, you know, most of that was fear. I was fearful of rejection from others, so I couldn't share it. The next years we were together went by pretty quickly, but nothing really changed. We moved to North Carolina in 1985. Denise and the boys started going to church, and she went back to college to get her degrees, and I was kind of living my own life.
From the outside, our home looked better than any TV family, but I now knew that if David did not reconcile with God, that our life together had no hope. At the same time, though, the Holy Spirit pressed upon me the truth that David was more than my husband. He was God's child. He had simply lost his way, and I remembered that there was a time when I, too, had lost my way. I must have cried a river of tears. I was deeply saddened for our family. Although the move to North Carolina left me horribly isolated from family and friends, this time alone turned out to be a gift from God. It forced me to take my faith to the next level. I began to seek out God and allow him alone to be my sustenance. Lamentations 3:22-23, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are renewed every morning. The boys and I joined a church in part to continue that spiritual journey, but it was also to maintain that family image. During this time, I met with a small group of women who listened to my woes but never admonished my sins. God did bless my obedience to know him better, though. And I do need a little, I got to ask in advance here. I need a little grace here. Because I had walked away from God. Remember, that 9-year-old kid, all that stuff that happened to her. And then I've decided now I've got two kids and I'm going to try to figure out what to know about God. And here's the good news. If you step out in obedience, you don't have to do everything right. He will bless the obedience. So I know that I'm supposed to read my Bible and pray. And so I start praying. But the first couple of weeks of praying, I was mainly praying that a large Mack truck would run him down. And if possible, let him see it coming. I know. Okay. But here's the thing. Not the right prayer to take before Almighty God, right? But God blessed that obedience. And he led me to Mark 11:25, which says, whenever you stand praying, forgive anyone of anything, so that, and I love the connector, so that your Father who is in heaven will forgive your trespasses. And I'm like, oh, man. But he also led me into the whole judging section of Matthew 7:20, which says, with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. So I'm like, okay. And so long before I heard Watermark say, draw the circle around yourself, God etched that on my heart. I realized that I had plenty of years of my own stuff that I needed to look at. Okay. Your turn.
Yeah. Yay. So 1990, we moved back to Dallas. And we had another opportunity for a new beginning. New home, new position, but same people. I fell back in the same old ways. The only difference was this time I actually attended church every Sunday, and I kind of had everyone fooled, and I think I even fooled myself for a while. And there were periods, I will tell you, I did pretty well for a year or two at a time, but those periods were never long-lived because they weren't built on anything solid outside of my own determination to do better. I was still in a bit of a self-imposed isolation. I didn't share anything with anybody. Denise and I separated in 1996 for a while, same reasons as before. 3 months later, I swore to her that I was going to change, and I even met with her Christian psychologist and just listed off all the boundaries and things I was going to do. Nevertheless, Denise really loved me, and she took me back.
With the return to Dallas, I began to match my prayer life with his word to what was going to honor God, not just what I wanted. I distanced myself from secular friends and their opinions, including secular family and their opinions. And I stopped crying for myself. So I'm 10 years into this 20-year stretch. I stopped crying for myself. And God pressed on me exactly who David was before him. And I began to weep for David. I wept because he was out of reconciliation with God. And Ephesians 1:17-18 became my prayer. That the Lord God of Jesus Christ and the Father of all glory, may he give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the purpose to which you have been called. I literally, there were times I prayed this over him. He woke up one night. He swears I was like right here. I wasn't. He did tell me, though. He said, that's creepy. Stop it. It did not stop me. But this transition that occurred, though, at that time was huge for my heart. And what I've come through the years to realize was that it's not that it took 20 years for God to yank him. It took 20 years for God to get me out of the way so that there was a place for God to reach out and get him.
So fast forward to 2000. So we're finally kind of in the years where a lot of you guys are alive now. So, you know, those early years, it's, you know, Denise and I have been together now for 22 years at the time. Both of our sons were in college. We were in the middle of yet another separation, and I had contacted an attorney. You know, I was still kind of unsure about it, so I was talking to Denise about, let's get back together one more time. And I was actually on my best behavior. Picture this. This is the day after Thanksgiving in 2000. We're decorating the Christmas tree at Denise's house thing, because I was in an apartment.
Larnell Harris is singing "O Holy Night"
on the background, and we heard a knock at the door. And whenever Denise went over to answer it, it was the latest lady that I had just broken up with who was a little ticked. She came by to see Denise and give her back everything I'd left there. And this time was the first time I saw the consequences of my actions firsthand. You know, Denise began to cry, and those tears were just icy tears. She turned to me and she told me to get out. The lady had gone. She said, get out, never come back, not while I'm here. You know, I went back to the apartment I'd rented, and I was forced to look at what I had done to Denise as well as the boys. And I will tell you, that was the time that God did pull the blinders off, and it took that. The realization then began to sink in that my own selfish actions, what I had done, had just taken away everything that was important to me, my wife, my kids, my respect. I had no respect for myself either. So I fell to my knees. I remember being so tired I couldn't even stand up. And I cried out, and I kept asking my mom, why? Why am I doing this? And, you know, in my desperation then, I cried out to God, and I said, God, please change me. And if you won't change me, then just take my life, because I couldn't hurt her anymore. I couldn't hurt my sons anymore. You know, I really was begging for his mercy. And I was a totally surrendered. This is the first time I can remember going to my knees like that since I had first accepted Christ as an 8-year-old boy. You know, I spent most of the remainder of that night, I was just praying, and I was really upset over my stupidity. But I also remember a tremendous weight being lifted whenever I did that surrender and just gave it to God. And, you know, he laid on my heart then. I went in and lit a fire in the fireplace. I burned up all the notes I had, all the messages. I shut down all the personal email accounts. And anyway, and Psalm 103:12, it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. I did know I was forgiven, but I have to tell you, our lives, my life especially, was a real mess. And all I knew that I needed, I knew I needed to read my Bible. So that weekend, I spent the weekend just reading my Bible. And the next Monday, I went to work. I can remember it as if it was yesterday. And I picked up the phone, and I called Denise, and what did I get?
I hung up on him.
Yeah.
Well, that was after I said, I told you not to call me ever again as long as you live, clunk.
So she slammed the phone down on me. And
I was not happy.
I had had experience of always being able to talk my way back in. So I actually remember being a little upset. So I felt like, didn't she know God had changed me over the weekend? So, hey, anyway, So I did the next best thing. I called a friend that was an associate pastor at a local church, and I was pouring my story out to him, and I really expected some sympathy. Anyway, he turned and he said, you sinned against God and against your family, against your wife. He said, God knows your heart, but your marriage with Denise may be over. Your own actions may have ended that. But know that God is not through with you. So Proverbs 27:6 tells us, wounds from a friend can be trusted. During that call, we prayed that God would be with me and with us, and with the only goal that I had at that time to be the best godly single person I could be. To do this, I knew I had to grow my relationship with God, and it was pretty perfect. One of the passages I used to say a lot, now, this was a daily thing that I had to do. Every morning, I surrendered that day to God. Luke 9:23-24. If anyone would come after me, and he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it.
I cannot begin to tell you how much time I spent in prayer seeking God's will for my next step. It was seldom a question of what I wanted, although some of the time it was. The question was, what did God want me to do? This God who hates divorce, what did he want me to do? I wanted to honor God with my decision, with my forgiveness, but was no longer able to trust David's words. I had been depleted of all hope that he would change, that he would surrender. We divorced. In case you're keeping count.
Yeah, third time.
But a faithful God used my broken heart as the opportunity to break other parts of me too. God had returned us both to clay to be remolded by his hands.
Yeah, I really didn't want that last divorce. I kept talking to Denise about just doing a longer separation, but just to give her time to see, are these changes real? And but at the same time, I realized that I really didn't blame her because I wouldn't do anything any different. So I didn't blame her for wanting to be away from me at all. I thought that whatever love she had for me was destroyed by my actions, my 20 years of infidelity. You know, my life had really changed. I did get into a Bible study, and it was on Friday mornings at 6:30, I remember, so it was pretty intense. By week six, at the end of the men's Bible study, I got up in front of the 60 men and confessed my sins to everybody in the room and just told them how I had destroyed our marriage. And it was the first time I'd ever done that. So the guys at my table really began meeting together every other week, even though the study was over, and it was the first start of accountability I had. And later, I sought out and found a very good Christian counselor who convinced me through a lot of prayer and a lot of time that my belief system was flawed. God, your Heavenly Father, my Heavenly Father, loved me. And, you know, God restored me after a time through the grace of God. Denise began to talk with me again. I used to see her and the boys. She would let me come over on Saturday mornings for 2 hours. And to see the guys. And I had an opportunity to talk about what God was doing in my life. And I will tell you, there was a lot of disbelief and even anger. My sons were mad. But at the same time, God really gave me clarity of thought at this time. I understood that my actions had caused those seeds of anger. You know, I had been forgiven by God, but the consequences were going to be there. There was no one else in my life, and there was no need, as Christ had filled that void that I had ever since I was a child. Something I like to remind people is, it's what I did. It's not who I am. And Christ revealed that to me, that we all have a sin nature, that we all fail without him. Eventually, Denise and I went out on a Sunday afternoon, and actually, it was to an opera. So, you know, I was pretty desperate to get to go out with her again. It's a German opera, too.
It was terrible. It was awful.
You know, we talked as if life had was just beginning, and it kind of was. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, and the new has come. We began to see each other after that, and within a year, in 2001, we remarried for the third time. And we lived happily ever after.
Oh, yeah, that happened.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we were reconciled, and we got married, but restoration, just like they say, it was a process. We were seeking God's direction for our lives, and we agreed that we were committed to the marriage. So once we got back in there, we shut all the doors, the work door, the golf door, you name it, the kids' door, and focused on our marriage. You know, the first months, even years, there were times where something would happen and anger would just, Denise would get angry at me for no reason. And, you know,
there was a reason.
No, there was no
reason. There was not a current reason.
There was no current reason. I'm just saying 20 years of history. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, thank you. Thank you.
It's okay. It's okay, sweetheart.
No, I'm good. Okay. I should have put current. Okay. But anyway, something that, it's really amazing, though. I really just understood. Every time that it happened, I understood that I had caused that. But something we learned how to do later on, the hardest thing to do was for me to confront in later years, after we'd been back together for 3, 4, 5 years, because whenever there's conflict, I couldn't just walk away from it. And Denise didn't even know she was doing it. She didn't mean to. So it was a process for both of us. But anyway, I told Denise I broke your trust. Anything you need, I kind of laid everything out, made everything open for her. And whatever assurances she needed was okay.
1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The first couple of years back together were not easy for either one of us, but it was never about what was going to be easy for us. It was about what was going to honor God. In the past, David would have said something like, I said, I'm sorry, when are you getting over this? But this time, he was willing to wait while God healed my heart, my wounds, my very soul, and I was willing to wait while God continued to work changes in David's life and heart. Romans 8:28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose.
You know, Over the next few years, we continue to grow individually and as a couple, and we continue to build, but this time it was on Christ as the foundation. I went to each of my sons in that first year and asked for their forgiveness and realized it would take time, and it did, but it does happen. We started coming to Watermark, I guess, in 2007, and by 2008, they had started the Re-Engage program. We had a much better marriage by then. And they asked us if we wanted to help and re-engage as a leader. And we said, well, we better go through it first. And, you know, we said we knew everything not to do.
Yeah, exactly.
So we went through the program at Watermark to discover what does God's plan for marriage look like. And whenever we got there, we said, let's just scratch the surface. We don't want to share everything with these people. But whenever it came to us first, and I looked at Denise and I said, go ahead and tell them everything.
6 weeks later.
Yeah, it was about 6 weeks' time, that's for sure.
But nobody ran out of the room.
But they did change seats. No, they didn't.
They did not.
They didn't change seats. But I will tell you, going through Re-Engage, we were stuck at about a 4 or 5 at the time. She was a 4, I was a 6. But going through that, we learned how to communicate, how to deal with conflict. And today, you know, I'd say we're at a 9 anyway. With me, one of the things that I still struggle with is the guilt over the wasted years. And there's a verse that helps me a lot with that. It's Romans 8:1. There is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And that will help stop the lie that things will never change. People will never change. You can and you will if you surrender to Christ. You know, one of the things we do, anyway, as far as sharing this story, our story is the 20 bad years. And since Christ in 2001, it's been 17 green years. You know, it's a way of thanking God for healing a marriage that, redeeming and healing a marriage the world had given up on. And our prayer is that others will put their trust in him. In Revelations 12:11, it says, they overcame him, my inclusion, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. And Denise and I would like to say thank you to the staff here at Watermark for having us here and pray that God blesses you all. Thank you. Amen.